Our invitation song tonight will be number 918, and you'll be turning to that number. And also, if you brought your Bibles tonight, be turning to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26, and we're going to pick up the reading tonight in verse 57. It's a little bit lengthy reading, but to put everything in perspective tonight, we want to look at these verses that we're going to be discussing. And we're going to read verse 57 down through verse 75. And the Bible says, "And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled together. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. And they said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy this temple of God and to build it again in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you that hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him, and others smote him with the palm of their hand, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is it that smote thee? Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied them all, before them all, saying, I know what thou sayest. I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. When Jesus was betrayed by Judas, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter had tried to do his best to help Jesus, actually by the cutting off of the right ear of Malchus, the high priest. But according to the book of Luke, the Bible says that Jesus restored his ear. And at that time, he rebuked Peter for using the sword. He said, they that live by the sword will also die by the sword. Christ at that moment could have called an innumerable host of angelic forces from heaven. As we often sing in that grand old hymn, he could have called 10,000 angels, 10 legions. But it was time for him to die. And afterward, the Lord was arrested and the disciples fled, according to what Matthew has to say here. And all of them initially fled, but two of them, and that was Peter and that was John. However, Peter, the Bible says, followed afar off. You know, that's a very interesting statement. It's one of those little statements that almost get lost in the context of the whole picture. Everybody's concerned about Jesus being apprehended and now he's going to go to his death. But sometimes that little statement that we find nestled there in those verses is one that is often overlooked. And Peter followed afar off. You know, Peter would be one whom we would least expect to follow afar off. What he had done is that he was trying to distance himself from Jesus. He did not want them to know that he had been associated with Christ or that he was one of the disciples. You know, there are a lot of people like that in the world today who try to distance themselves from Jesus. Oh, they don't do it at the church house, but they do it at the job. They do it among their peers. They do it where they feel that they do not want Jesus to be along. Peter was one of the first disciples chosen by Jesus according to the book of John. Andrew brought his brother unto Jesus. They were fishermen and they chose to follow the rabbi. The Bible says according to the book of Luke that they left all and they followed Jesus. He was the one, you remember, when Jesus had gone to Caesarea Philippi in the book of Matthew 16 and had made that noble confession of Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. For Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And it was Peter who responded by saying, "Lord, some say that you're Jeremiah or Elias or one of the prophets." And then he turns to Peter and he asks him, he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon," or Peter, "of Jonas, for flesh and blood did not reveal it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose, it shall be loosed in heaven." However, when Christ was arrested, it was Peter who decided to follow at a safe distance. You know, we are often judged sometimes, even when it comes to criminal activity. We're judged, and sometimes we are apprehended based upon guilt by association. And no doubt this is what was going through Peter's mind. Well, you know, I'm going to be guilty here by association with Jesus. And so the Bible says that he chose to follow at a safe distance. He followed afar off. And the Bible says even when Jesus is before Caiaphas, that Peter is sitting outside, the Bible says. Matthew tells us why Peter even followed it all. There's another little statement nestled therein that you often forget or overlook. And it says that he followed afar off because he wanted to see the end. What was really going to happen to Jesus? What was really going to take place? Are they really going to put him in jail? And are they really going to abuse him? And are they really going to crucify him upon a cross? He followed afar off to see the end. It was curiosity that caused him to follow Jesus more than love. It was the curiosity that motivated him. And how miserable he must have been at that time. Peter tries to loose himself in the crowd, and in so doing, denies the Lord three times. To his credit, the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly when he realized what he had done. It was this same Peter, you remember, who had followed afar off, that became again the faithful disciple and apostle of our Lord. And I think it's interesting that when you go to the book of Acts, the first 12 chapters in the book of Acts deal primarily with this one apostle. He is the one who nobly stands up on the day of Pentecost and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. He stands up, and when men want to know what to be saved, it is Peter who stands up and declares unto them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It is Peter and John in that second sermon in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 who says that we are to be converted, that our sins may be blotted out. Peter was the one who was thrown in prison, you remember? And the church begins to pray for him, and suddenly God releases that man from prison. I think there's some valuable lessons to learn about this particular text. It's not so much that Peter followed afar off. But what are the lessons to be learned through all of that? I think we could safely say that one of them is that we as individuals are never so strong in Jesus to always be above temptation. You know, for a long time I used to think that, you know, if you were living right and you were doing what was right, then, you know, you'd never ever be tempted even. But when we remember what the Bible says about Jesus, that he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin, then am I reminded that we too are going to be tempted. But God will not allow, as we said this morning, us to be tempted above that which we are able, and will make a way of escape for us. But Peter succumbed to temptation. For when they began to declare that he had been associated with Jesus, he denies it three times. And when he, that third time, the Bible says that he actually began to curse and swear with an oath, I have nothing to do with that man. Let me ask you a question. If someone asked you if you were a Christian, how would you respond? And would, listen, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? One of the lessons I think we learn, that as long as we live, we will face temptations and therefore be susceptible to give in to them, according to the book of James. For man is drawn away and enticed. He becomes guilty of sin, and that sin results in his death and his spiritual demise. I think this story also reveals to us perhaps our own spiritual weakness. It certainly reveals his when he tried to hide his identity with Christ. You know, sometimes I fear that those of us maybe who are Christians often try to camouflage or hide our identity with Christ. Let me tell you how that plays out sometimes. I think people are often afraid to pray in public. People will pray at the church house. They might even pray at their house before a meal, but do you do it when you're out in public? Are you afraid to do it? Are you afraid of what other people are going to say? Or what they might do? What they might think? Are you following Christ afar off? It doesn't matter when we say that we often follow Christ afar off. It doesn't matter whether it's fear of harm or financial gain or popularity or any other reason, we should follow closely to Jesus our Lord. We cannot be ashamed of Christ. Jesus said, "He that is ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall I also be ashamed when I come in all of my glory." I'm thankful that Peter could repent, and I think that too is one of the great lessons that we learn in this story. That even when we fall and when we make mistakes, as I suggested this morning, you know, great men, all of us fall, but great men get back up. Peter was a great man, no doubt. Oh, he was always the impetuous one. He was the one when Jesus would say, you know, "I'm going to go into Jerusalem and I'm going to die." And Peter says, "Wait a minute, Lord, we would never ever allow that to happen." And Jesus says, "Before the cock shall crow, you'll deny me three times." But who are those today who follow Jesus afar off? Did you know there are really two classes of people in the Lord's church? There are those who are faithful and those who love to do the will and the work of God. But there are those who follow afar off. The Christian in general, who are they that follow afar off? Well, they're the people who choose not to save souls. They're the people who choose not to work, but they allow everybody else in the body of Christ to do it. They are the folks who often say, I don't have time to serve God. I'm too busy. There are those who say, well, we don't enjoy that activity, so we're not going to show up. The people who follow afar off are those who never read their Bible. They depend upon maybe someone at church telling them what God has to say. The people who follow Jesus afar off are the people who never really communicate to God through the avenue of prayer. They are the folks who never really are interested in encouraging the weak and strengthening the fallen. They are content to let everyone else do the work of God. They are the ones who show up, as I mentioned this morning, on Sunday morning, and become Sunday morning attendees. And even that sometimes occasionally. They follow Jesus afar off. In other words, I want to follow Jesus on my terms, not his. I want to follow Jesus at my distance. Not at what he has chosen. The people who follow Jesus afar off are the people who often complain and murmur the most in the church. You ever notice that? People that complain the most are the people who do the least. It's true. These are the people who never grow to the point where they become teachers of the Word of God, but they always desire someone to teach them. I'm grateful that Peter went out and wept bitterly. I think it really was evidence of his penitent attitude. And from that very moment, stop and think about this. From that very moment that he repented and that he wept bitterly, we do not have evidence beyond that, that Peter ever turned against Christ again. That must have been a soul-searching moment in his life. It was a moment in which he reversed his mental attitude toward Jesus, and he lived close to God. And you know what? The Lord Jesus and God must have seen that. For after all of those events, you remember when Jesus was resurrected and the women came to the tomb? They said, go get Peter. And Peter comes to the tomb. And you remember it was Peter who stood up and proclaimed the first gospel message on the day of Pentecost. And it was Peter, so history traditionally tells us, when he faced that moment of death, he refused to be crucified right side up because that's the way Jesus died. And he didn't feel worthy to die in the same fashion as his Lord and Master. So at the request of Peter, he was crucified upside down. You know, people today sometimes in the church want the preacher to tickle their ears, so to say. There are people who are not accepting of sound doctrine, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 and following. There are those of whom we read about in the book of John 12, verse 42 through 43. And even preachers who want to find acceptance to the point that they're willing to preach to please instead of to preach to please God. And they're more concerned about acceptance than they are doing the will of Jehovah. If I were to ask you the question tonight, where do you fit in? What could you say? John stayed close to Jesus the whole time. You will remember it was John who was so close to Jesus that when he was crucified, he stood at the foot of the cross. And Jesus would entrust the care of his own mother into the hands of this loving apostle. Better to be a John than a Peter on that occasion. But where do you fit in tonight? That's a real issue, isn't it? We all talk about the sins of others instead of looking into the mirror of God's Word to find where we are. You may be following Christ at a distance tonight. You haven't given Him your whole heart. You've only given Him a part of it. You're only willing to go so far with Christ and no further. There's a song that we often sing. It's called, "Where He Leads, I Will Follow." And one of the verses of that song says, "I'll go with Him. I'll go with Him all the way." And that's where Christ asks us to be tonight. And if you feel that perhaps maybe you're following at a distance, isn't it time to change that? Don't continue to follow afar off. Make your allegiance and your commitment known to Jesus. And you can do that tonight if you're not a Christian and you're willing to surrender to the will of God and to make Christ the Lord of your life by acknowledging Christ as Savior and Lord, as Peter did, and perhaps many, many others throughout the Holy Scriptures, and having a penitent attitude over your sin, not just being sorry, but an attitude that says, I want to change from the sinful life to start living as God wants me to live. And I'm willing to surrender my life in New Testament baptism to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm willing to walk humbly before Him. I'm willing to follow Him. You remember it was when Jesus called the disciples in the book of Matthew 4 and verse 19. He says, come and follow me. Christ has enough followers who are following afar off. Doesn't need any more of those. He's looking tonight for people to follow Him completely and all the way. And if you're a child of God tonight and you're already a Christian and you know that you really honestly have been following afar off, you know you haven't been deeply committed to God, would you change that tonight? Sam has selected a song of encouragement. We're going to sing that, and if you're subject to the call of Jesus, we invite you to come while we stand and sing. Out of my